Good morning. So I'll be talking about my project, which is, I called it Observation Lab of Change. And the intentions of this project and why I called it Observation Lab, because I thought the main point of, or the main benefit of working on this site, on resilient landscapes on this site, would be bringing awareness about climate change and resilient landscapes more than making a direct great effect on the community surrounding. So I started by studying the bay with respect to time, because we're talking about change here. So we all know that the area was marshland. It was mainly neglected because it was perceived as a useless landscape because of its instability and non-solid nature. So many alterations happened to the landscape, mainly by man, by dredging, dumping, and filling, etc. And since I'll be focusing on Floyd Bennett Field, and why I'm focusing on Floyd Bennett Field, one, because you can notice it was highly impacted. It was mostly changed. You can see the big change that happened in the landscape. And it had all sources, all types of changes and fills to the landscape. Another thing, if we looked at the bay with respect to the future, we can see also the big change that happened all over the bay. Most of the marshes would disappear, though we noticed that Floyd Bennett Field is mostly preserved. So I saw that as a potential, and looked into these changes as layers that we have to look at, because they're complex and they really affect what would happen in the future. And I saw the sea level rise that would happen. We looked at 2050. As an additional layer that we have to see with respect to all these layers, and not only the surface layer that we see now if we visited the field. So for my strategy for the master plan was to choose a focus area for study, just to be able to catch the complexity, one. To be sure of how I'm going to treat these layers, and at the end generalize over the field itself. So I chose this south east corner because of first it's at this corner where it's mostly affected. It could be affected by the changes in the sea level rise. Also, it could be a potential area for attracting the community to itself because it's between the field and Brooklyn and then the Rockaway. So for phase one, it would be this area here, the one in purple. Which I'll focus on in this project, in this presentation. It's going to have the high accessibility, while the other two phases could come later after the study is done. And for now, they have light accessibility. Also, the circulation would accommodate to that, of course. So this is the master plan. I'll be focusing now on this purple side. My strategy to looking into these layers, we want to identify the different layers that exist in the landscape, and second, to manipulate the layers by excavating or exaggerating what's happening there to affect the water level and the sea level. As I said, I'm looking into the layers. So the first would be definitely the historic layer, to try and find where the historic marshes were. So you can see here I have a transect of three sections. That would help me locate three different sample areas. So the second level was the current landscape. You see the difference, the big difference in elevation, which was mainly the fill. But of course, this fill is not homogeneous, so I had to look into the soils as a tool to like assume what was there, what is there in this fill. To capture this complexity, I had like three main conclusions of the soils map, of my study to the soils map. One is the sources of the soil, divided them into three different types, the naturally transported, the human transported as dredge, and the human transported as fill. And this would, of course, impact how I reacted to the soil. Another one is the additional analysis, like specific areas that had debris or was a refuse surface or had dunes, etc. The third was the depth of the water table, because I noticed that there are like two areas that had a pretty shallow water table that would I thought would be a potential to study. And then went to the second point in my strategy, which is the manipulation based on these layers. One I call the destruction, so it might sound scary, but it's it includes excavation. I'll be excavating or removing any fill that was done by man, and also like excavating the cover layer on top of the shallow water table. Third thing would be working with few of the buildings that exist there, because you know that this corner in specific had too many buildings on the site, so some of them would be changed into ruins, just to show this aspect of change, while others would be repurposed for the resiliency center users. The second point in the manipulation would be construction. After I excavate and change, then I'll be adding elements like based on the changes, like dunes and beach and marshes, ponds over there where the water table was, etc. But also I'll be adding some built structures. I thought it would be interesting to add this human-made resilient landscape, because I want to look at the you know, impact how people see resilient landscape and add functionality to it. So this is how the my topography was affected by the manipulation. The main point was to create a variety of types of landscapes based on the change in topography. You can see these different areas that would be reflected in the vegetation or the types of the different regions of vegetation. For example, you can see here that the tidal zone, where it's where the topography was lower, or freshwater ponds, or brackish water ponds, or marshes, or dunes. The third point in manipulation would be the hardscape that I added, and you can notice how these are, they might seem they're random, but the way they were designed is to show at specific point and then disappear to highlight how we have different layers on the site. So you can see some of them. You know, the point was to see as if they continue under the ground and show at specific places, also to highlight the layers and the changes. I'll be zooming in to a couple areas to show these landscapes and the hardscape I introduced. So in this tidal zone, since it's a tidal zone, so the change, and one interesting thing I found in tidal zones, it shows this change that's going to happen in the future, but on a daily basis, so that the sea level rise would be changing continuously throughout the day. So I suggested floating decks that would move with the tide, so providing a different experience for people visiting throughout the day. They're mainly made of platforms sitting on light pipes or structures that would float with the as the seawater level rises, and you can, as I said, experience these different types of platforms through, though it's like the same thing. The second area includes the marsh and the facing terraced area, of course the dunes. So for the marsh, the hardscape was mainly a bridge that allowed people to cross from between two different landscapes and like have an experience of the marsh itself. The second was the terraces. The terraces show give a different interaction with the tide. Specifically, they are 7 feet high, seven, and each is 1 foot high. Which is, I believe, the sea level rise in 2050, which is 7 feet. I thought it would be a good way to mark the sea level changes. And these are made mainly of the rubble from what I'm excavating, buildings, etc. And to show, because I'm working on awareness and showing people what's happening in the change, there are like a few openings to show that this is actually made of rubble. But also, this is like a view of what would be the experience based on the tide or in the future if the sea level rise. And that's it.
Actually, Ron, you have to comment on the master plan. Yes.
I think your analysis is very thorough, and also how you're, the landscape is serving as an educational component, that you're teaching people about sea level rise and how things will change over time, I think is very interesting. I was just curious, what led you to focus on that particular section of Floyd Benfield?
I tried to explain, but first I thought this corner would be more prone to change because it's at the corner where you can, it's facing the Rockaway. Here we don't see too much of the change in the, facing the water. Two is because it's mostly used now, so I thought it had more of the complexity of the layers.
It definitely fits in with the layer. That's where Barren Island was, your whole thought process. I think it's a good selection for your specific project.
I really like the concept of layers, I think both structurally and thematically, and I like how you integrated it throughout the project, even with your terraced structures that show how things are changing and how things are moving forward. And I think overall, really interesting background research and very thorough. I'm a little unclear as to the hard structure floating deck, kind of what each one is and what each one does and the purpose of those, if they're purely recreational, if they serve some sort of resiliency purpose, mm-hmm. or if they have some other kind of tie into it. But I think overall, very nice.
I like your creative thinking about how to facilitate people interacting with the estuary and coastal environment, the floating walkways, and the terracing. I love the terracing idea. When I lived in Bar Harbor, people would ask, where do I go to see the tide? You know, people don't really, unless they're familiar with marine environments, the tide is kind of this mysterious thing. And so whether it's to help them see sea level or think about sea level change or just daily tides, that was an interesting concept.
Thanks very much. Shuki. One thing about this sort of excavation, one issue that Siva was thinking about was if we excavated down to a soil that previously was saltwater marsh, would that give us greater success versus trying to establish saltwater marsh on a field condition? So part of that excavation was finding that native soil, and would we have greater success? I don't know. Maybe it's some contamination. There's so much contamination, so much compaction, but a thought.